camera, I'm sure. That's a beautiful segue. Which is Mr. Peter Goodbody, and he's going to stand up now and give us a talk about the Fab Collective, followed by a brief Q&A about what they do. Peter.
Thank you very much. Can you all hear me? I will talk a bit about the Fab Collective. I'm also going to talk a little bit about the sort of personal journey that I've undertaken from about 6 years ago, I guess, when I first started taking digital photos, to me standing up here talking about the Fab Collective and our use of social media. So it is a bit of a personal story in a sense. It's not necessarily the Fab Collective party line, but we will see how we got there in the end. I'm actually really honoured to be here with the Biennial on the same platform. I mean, it's really nice. It's a great recognition for us, and it's a great recognition for where we've managed to get to in the short 18 months or so that the Fab Collective has been alive. This one's for Anthony. This was the innovation game that he was talking about, and this is one of the creative control goons who was standing outside St George's Hall. It was a great day, and it was a great example in the sense of how social media can work, because I love the way that the Biennial produced these fake Facebook pages and spread a lot of disinformation in gearing up to this. I'm going to start talking about, in three stages really, the problem or the issues that I had when I started taking photos, a look at the solution, or at least how it worked for me, and then a little bit about what photographers can expect in terms of social media in the future moving on. This was a great idea when... There we go. That's where I started, with a little Sony Cybershot DSC T1. I've still got it, and I still use it. And it's not a bad camera. These are some of the first shots I ever took with it. These were all taken in the north of Scotland in Uist. And I remember at the time, I was all terribly excited. I had the new camera. I'd uploaded the photos onto my computer, and I was looking at the screen. And I sort of thought, well, what now? What happens? What do I do with them? Where do we go from here? So in a sense, there was a sort of deflation in a way. I mean, they're nice enough photos, I thought, and I was quite pleased with what I'd got. But I hadn't really sort of analysed the issue in the way that I have done now in terms of thinking for tonight's talk, but there was a sense of what's it for. Again, I took the camera to South Africa, and actually quite remarkably, it produced some half-decent shots for such a small camera. But again, here I was, I'd sort of realised that there were decent photos out there to be had, but I was struggling with what to do with them. I sort of let it roll for a little bit. Photography, as anyone who's into it will know, is... potentially an expensive exercise, and there is always the sense of gadget envy, wanting more, wanting to buy more gear. I was no exception. I don't know if anyone recognises these guys.
Lordy,
Eurovision. Yep. 2007. I can't remember how it was, but I remember looking at the betting odds for these guys to win Eurovision. And a couple of months before the Eurovision Song Contest, I think they were at 40-1. And it struck me that they were worth a punt. £25 each way. So I bought myself my first digital SLR. We'd planned anyway to go on holiday to Tanzania, and I was always wanting to upgrade my gear in any event with a view to going on that trip. And so that's what we did. I had a nice new shiny SLR camera, a nice new shiny long lens to go with it. And I thought I got some decent shots. I still like that one. That's one of my favourite shots I think I've probably ever taken. There's still room to improve, obviously. There always is. But I got back from Tanzania and I thought, right, I've got all these great shots. I really, again, I'm struggling to decide what I'm going to do with them. And it was then when I started looking around and discovered Flickr. So this is the start, really, of the sort of social media aspect to what to what I'm talking about. I uploaded the photos to Flickr. I don't know how many people are familiar particularly with Flickr. It works like a blog in a way, in the sense that the most recent photo you've uploaded is always going to be the one at the top. But you can organise stuff into sets and groups. So I've got the Liverpool shots, I've got studio shots, I've got the Africa shots, I've got the Asia shots. And so did some more digging around on Flickr and discovered that Flickr is actually, for all its faults, in the sense that the signal-to-noise ratio can be quite difficult to negotiate at times, it does have some quite cool tricks. One of the things that Flickr does quite well is the groups. You don't just upload your photos and sit back. If you add them to various groups, depending on what you're interested in or where they're taken or what they're taken with. So just by way of example, that's the Jaguar group. So you can see that loads of people have uploaded photos of Jaguar cars, greyhounds. But there are thousands and thousands and thousands of groups on Flickr. There are groups for just about everything you can think of, including shots of Greg's the Bakers. But that's the group for pictures of shops only. Don't upload Greg's products into that group, because they go in that group. But there's more serious stuff as well, and there's proper information. I started discovering that's a camera-specific group. And it's becoming now a little bit more than just sharing photos. There are proper conversations going on. There are people talking about tools and techniques. There are people asking for advice. There are people who are willing to give advice. And so it's becoming a little bit better in terms of what I was searching for, in terms of what I wanted to get out of taking photos. Because I always thought there wasn't a great deal of point in taking photos if you weren't going to share them somewhere, show them to other people, because after all, if you've got something that you're proud of, you want other people to see it. Again, that's a lens-specific group, so if you're thinking of buying new equipment, you can go onto Flickr and see what people can do with it. And then there's the Liverpool group, and there are lots of geographical groups. And this is starting to get now quite cool, because you're seeing people talking about events that are going on. Yeah, I know, I haven't taken Pete's name. People are talking about events that are going on. You can see things that are happening. You can see where people are going, what people are doing. And people are starting to meet up in real life, becoming more than just an online presence. You're actually meeting people and you're talking to people. And you start wishing that you'd chosen a username other than Mobile Virgin, because you have to tell people that that's what your name is. So this is starting to generate, as I say, into something that's much more interesting, a much better interaction between people. Flickr's got some other quite cool things. EXIF data. Whenever you take a photograph with a digital camera, the camera not only stores the image itself, but it also stores various bits of information, such as the date it was taken, what camera was used, what the exposure was, what the aperture was, focal length, ISO speed, and so on and so forth. And so you can start to pick up tips and tricks as well, and you can start to learn from other people and what they're doing. You can see where a particular photo was taken, if the user's added the information on. Flickr will put the stuff on a, you can put it on a map. this jumps a little bit in terms of the chronology, but Flickr's recently introduced some new features which make it very easy now. You upload a picture to Flickr, it's very easy to send it off to Twitter or to a blog or to Facebook or something like that. And these social media sites are now starting to integrate quite nicely. And of course people comment on your photos, tell you what a wonderful photographer you are. It's a bit of a punt, this one. I wondered whether Robin was going to be here tonight, but he's not anyway. but you're getting a little bit of feedback. Flickr isn't the best place for feedback, certainly not for constructive criticism, but you're starting to get an idea if you're going in the right direction, if people like what you're doing. People comment on your photos, they presumably felt sufficiently moved to take the time out to do something. So it's a start. The other thing I found that I used a lot in 2007-2008 was a web forum called Talk Photography. This is a place for proper constructive feedback, proper constructive criticism. So over the course of those sort of 2 years, I was drinking in all this stuff. I was learning, I was looking obviously at other websites, I was talking to people, I met a couple of people on Talk Photography as well. And things were moving in the sort of direction that was making me happier in terms of where I wanted to be as a photographer. Capital of Culture came along in 2008. I felt it was important for me to get out and shoot it. I wanted to make a record of it. I wanted to document it. And it became apparent, again, from Flickr and also from Talk Photography and other places, that I wasn't the only one who was doing that. It was apparent that there were lots of other Liverpool photographers doing same or similar types of things. There was a discussion on the Liverpool Flickr group, I think it was the Liverpool group, at the end of 2008 about what were the possibilities of taking it further. 2008 really showed off Liverpool in a fantastic way. And there was a sense that there was a desire to continue that. And as I say, a number of people seemed to be thinking the same sorts of things independently, and then when the idea was mooted, someone decided that it would be a good idea to have a meeting. So let's actually talk to each other and meet in real life, face to face. And so that's what we did. Initially, a couple of meetings in the Everyman. And it became apparent from those discussions that there was a desire and a passion about Liverpool and to show it off and to try and do something bigger than just taking photos and uploading them to social media websites. Ultimately, that's how the Fab Collective was born. We had a number of meetings. We moved to the Ship and Mitre, who have an upstairs room, which they let us use in return for buying beer from their bar, which is very nice of them. These were discussions that we were having in the Ship that we couldn't have online. It would be absolutely impossible for us to have formulated who we thought we were and what we wanted to do and why we were there. Social media can only take you so far and get you to a particular point. And social media had got me into the Ship and Mitre, meeting and talking to other people who shared the same sorts of ideas that I did. And as I say, it was in there, it was a sort of brainstorming session that we came up with the idea of the Fab Collective. We had one of those sort of let's just no idea is a stupid idea type sort of conversations. And someone mentioned Magnum, who's a very well-known international photographic agency. And so we thought, well, if Magnum can name themselves after an ice cream, then so can we. We'd all come together, as I say, using various sort of different bits of social media, and we knew once we'd formulated the plan that we were a group, that we'd decided that the idea was to have an exhibition in the summer. We ended up talking to Evan Strawberry Lunch, who are the people who run St. Luke's, the bombed out church. And so it was all looking good and things were moving on. So we obviously had come together through social media routes, and we obviously were familiar with it, and we obviously wanted to use social media to publicise what we were doing and who we were. Very interesting to hear Anthony talking before about the biennial, about some of the things they've done, particularly about the innovation game, just sort of trickling out little bits of information, not necessarily telling people precisely what it's about until later on, engaging people. So that's what we did. That was actually the second Fab Collective tweet. The first one just said hello. What we didn't want to do was just stand up and shout very loudly and say, look at me, because we knew and we understood that we need to engage with people, we need to have a conversation with them, that it's a two-way process. And by trickling out information like this, it was a way of getting people to sort of look up and just wonder what's going on, and to try and get them to find out a little bit more about who we were and what was going on. Obviously, we've got a website. Everybody's got a website. We're not particularly remarkable as far as that's concerned. It's in a blog format. It's based on a WordPress template. That means that it keeps up to date, obviously, with what we're doing. But the format that we use, obviously, all of the posts then have comment boxes, so people can leave comments for us. So they can talk to us and we can talk to them. And it just keeps that conversation going and engaging with people. This is a project, Hollywood Homeless. It's something we did towards the end of last year and the beginning of this. People were starting to notice us, which obviously was nice, and it's all very well and good. But the Hollywood Homeless Project was an arts-based project run by Urban Strawberry Lunch at St. Luke's. They saw two parts to it, one a sort of photographic part, the other a music part. And the idea was to work with a lot of homeless community who spend time around and about the church, try and give them something constructive to do, try and build up their self-esteem, try and show that they can be creative. And so quite a lot of Fab Collective helped with this, mentoring the participants, going around with them in town, taking photos, helping them with the processing and developing and that sort of thing. It was absolutely perfect for us. It was right where we wanted to be. We wanted to be part of the community in Liverpool, and this was a real chance for us to do it, both socially and creatively. That's one of the photos taken by one of the Hollywood Homeless participants, which I just thought was a fantastic photo. He's really proud of that, and I think it's great to have been a part of an exercise like that that produces that sort of work. Back to us. We set up a web forum. It's a place where we can discuss projects, we can organise things, we can post agendas for meetings if needs be, we can post minutes of meetings, we can ask questions, and we can just generally chat. As a forum for discussion, it's quite an interesting one, because we all came together as a group of people and then we set up the forum. So we were familiar with talking to each other in the pub. We weren't so familiar with talking to each other online. And that we have had massive fallouts It's a good thing, it's a useful tool, but there are corpses in there. May or may not have been a swear filter on that. But we've organised our projects. We had two summer exhibitions in St Luke's, one last summer in August, one this summer in August. We've also got an exhibition running in St Luke's at the minute as part of the Independence stream of the biennial. We've got photos currently in the windows in Lewis's on Rowley Street. But we also get out and take photos. We're very keen that we're not a camera club. We don't have tea and biscuits at our meetings, and we don't have lectures or talks. We try and plan projects and go out and do things. This is just one shot taken at one of the things that we organised. It's called Fab Faces, and it's just us out on the streets of Liverpool with cameras just taking pictures of people. It's great fun. Gets us to talk to people. And then we come back and we upload the photos. Of course, it drives people to the website. They come and see whether they can find the photo that's been taken. They can talk to us. They can order prints. It's just a great way of engaging with people, getting us out and about and actually doing what we like doing best, which is taking pictures. One of the final things on the website, which is quite cool, is what we call the in-action page. It doesn't require any work or maintenance. It's taken from Flickr. I mean, of course, because we're photographers, we just spend a lot of time taking photos of each other. We go to the Ship and Mice, or we all buy drinks in the bar, and then we just sit there with our cameras and we just shoot each other. We've got a private group on Flickr in the sense that only we can join it, where we post photos that we've taken of other Fab Collective people. And then this is a WordPress plugin, I would guess, Pete, is that right? That just sucks the pics from Flickr.
It's called Flickr Gallery.
So it is. Sucks the pics from Flickr. Displays the thumbnails on there, so it's a constantly changing page. Doesn't require any maintenance. So that's where we are at the moment. That's how we came together, and that's how we organise ourselves in terms of social media. We've got a Facebook page as well, but I think it's the website and the Twitter account really, which certainly as far as I see, we get the most reaction and engagement from people. In terms more generally in photography and the future and how social media is developing, obviously it's a little bit difficult to tell what the future is going to bring because I don't have those powers. But there are more and more ways not only of sharing photos and information, but also ways of generating the content too. Tumblr is a website some of you may be familiar with. The people I know who use Tumblr use it largely for photos, but it doesn't have to be, and you can see that other people will use it for posting other bits of text or ideas or links or just stuff they've found on the web. I've deliberately taken these two screenshots from my phone because it's becoming more and more a way of sharing material now. And all the various iPhone apps and Android apps that fake Polaroids and old Lomo cameras and so on are things that we're starting to play with and starting to develop ideas around. This is another website I use called BlipPhoto. It's a website where you upload just one photo a day. You don't have to upload a photo, but you can only upload the one. It becomes a sort of journal, a sort of story. Again, it's a community. People comment, people react.
Comment.
Yeah, I'm nearly. This was taken from Tumblr. The reason I did this is because Tumblr is an excellent way of collaborating with people. It's very easy to post pictures to Tumblr. If you just have an email address, they'll just give you a sort of abc123@tumblr.com. And anyone who's got that email address can post to that particular particular page. This is a thing called Evoke Potential, which is being done by two Fab Collective people, Jane and Jen. And each picture, starting here, each picture reacts to the previous one, and it's just an ongoing project. It's an interesting collaboration, and it's a nice way of doing it. Another iPhone app called Instagram, which is taking off at the minute. It's becoming very popular. Again, take the photo with your phone, apply various filters to it, makes it dead easy to upload. As you can see, you can react with people to a certain extent. But ultimately, it's about having a conversation and engaging with people. And whether you do it online, which you can do to a certain extent, I think really it's a tool, and you have to remember it's a tool. But the best is just talking to people and having conversations. So thank you very much for listening.
Has anyone got any questions they want to ask Peter?
So I was just going to ask about copyright. Do you have any problems with people basically stealing your photographs? you've talked about how the amount of written photographs you're uploading to Flickr and online. But surely that must be a problem.
It happens. If you've got a paid for Flickr account, you do get some information as to where people are coming from, if people have linked to your photos. There are various tools online. There's one called TinEye, which claims to be able to, if you upload a photo to it, claims to be able to tell you if that particular photo exists elsewhere on the internet. It's a bit hit and miss, but it does find results.
So what do you do? Do you contact them? Is it as simple as just contacting them?
It depends what the use is, really. Yeah. And it depends how bothered the individual is. I mean, if someone's taken a photo of mine on Flickr and just put it on their blog, then I'm not particularly bothered. If someone's using it for commercial purposes, then I am going to get quite agitated about it. Usually it's just a case of writing to them, emailing them and saying, "Oi, stop it." Ultimately, if people are going to steal your stuff, they're going to steal your stuff. There's nothing you can do about it. You just have to ask Tesco, you know. It's the same to them. Same for us. Oh, go on then.
Who's going to win the audition next year? Or what's new bands?
I'm not very good with betting, and I don't do it very often. That was definitely a fluke. I always put money on Tony McCoy to win the Grand National, so I was happy when he came up with the goods this year, but I've wasted a lot of £10 on Tony McCoy over the years. Yeah. All right.
Brilliant. Thank you very much to Peter. Okay, we're now going to take another 5-minute break, but very strictly a 5-minute break. Neil here will come and spank you if you're not back at your seats within 5 minutes. And we'll return for our final speaker. Thanks very much.